Good morning, one and all. It's an honour for me to be with you, north of the border, and we're praying for you guys in these turbulent days, as we are for the whole of the United Kingdom and the future of this nation. I appreciated the obituary at the beginning, and the beauty of this visit for me is that InterServe in Scotland and Ireland is amalgamating with InterServe in England and Wales. So at the end of April, we will become InterServe in Great Britain and Ireland. So the reach is spread and resources hopefully to impact the whole of these islands. Not every mission will say to you what I'm about to say, but there is an urgent quest on. And that quest is to discover the wineskin of mission for the future. What is the next wineskin in a post-modern, post-Christian Britain? And so one of the things that is exercising us greatly is, if you can hear this, a theology of history. A theology of history. Theology is simply the conversation about God. And in that sense, we're all theologians. But the point is the need to understand the ways of God in human history. And thereby to become like the men and women of Issachar who understood the times and knew what they should do. The paradigm we've been working with is systematically being dismantled for a number of reasons. And the message this morning is a message that speaks into a theology of history, the search for home. I think I've got a changer, haven't I, somewhere? There we go. This was my original title given to me. And the answer to that question is that. Human beings all across the world are searching for home. By the way, anything you want to follow of what I get up to and talk about, you can go to the blog site of graceformuslims.org. In our own house near Preston, this is what it looked like in November. We gutted half the downstairs and made it open plan. And one of the things I would have said about our house is that we get some special people that come across for breakfast in the morning, because we live opposite a large pond. And house and home is one of the top rated TV issues in this nation. And garden. Sorry, Charlie Dimmock. And the psalmist is touching on the issue of house and home in this psalm. Your dwelling place, O Lord. The courts of the Lord. Even the sparrow has found a home. Some of these ducks are trying to nest in our back garden. A place near your altar, probably a reference to the temple and the nooks and crannies that the birds would make their nest in, but a place near your altar, O Lord, I would love to be there. Your house. Blessed are those whose strength is in you and whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Pilgrimage where? Pilgrimage to the ultimate home. So the theme, the search for home, is part of the theology of history. It's part of what God is doing in the world at the moment. The world has become, excuse me, it's an English expression, the world has become an international M25. Contextualize it yourself. Doesn't quite work with the M8, does it? It's a bit straight. But anyway, take a ring road and you've got it. I've been in the business nearly 40 years in cross-cultural mission and relief and development. I used to work with an agency into South Sudan. I'd be there twice a year. And at that point, I came to learn that even the UN, the United Nations, with its Charter of Human Rights, the fundamental need of human beings includes shelter, clean water, education, health, shelter. It's one of the top six, according to the UN. It is part of the human psyche, somewhere to belong, somewhere to be safe, somewhere to have identity, somewhere to be loved. We say in the English language, a man's home is his. Home is where? Home, sweet. And any of you that have enjoyed the film E.T., trust me, go back to it and look at it. All the major stills throughout that film are from the old masters, Caravaggio and the like. The adoration of the Magi in the toy cupboard. With me. The resurrection of the Christ in the back of that ambulance. Spielberg is a Jew, but that film is shot through with Christian imagery and gospel imagery. And what was his strapline? E.T., phone. And the film, I believe, struck a chord in humanity beyond Hollywood, the search for home in the human psyche. It's both a physical and a psychological, emotional, spiritual reality. Some of us, it looks like this. Ours, we blew the front off. Not quite. No dynamite, I promise. And we replaced it. We're now weatherproof again. Some are like this in the Interserve world. Dick and Rose and others, Shirley, will recognize not all houses are like ours. Here's Afghanistan. One of our partners has lived there for 20 years, but the OBEs go to people who make loads of money and sing songs. Sorry, that's just a personal. Pray for me afterwards. A human yearning for eternity, for the divine. Ecclesiastes 3:11, you placed eternity in our hearts. Perhaps that's why the Lord Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. And then, as we've had quoted, in my Father's house are many dwellings. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also. I'm doing a lot of teaching in the book of Revelation at the moment, and I love the fact that one of these signatures of New Jerusalem is that it shall be written over the city, the Lord is there. The dwelling of God, the dwelling of man, come together. That echo from the Old Testament, one of the names of God Almighty. And it was Saint Augustine from North Africa who said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest, their home in you. Last weekend, I was in Sweden at the launch of Friendship First course. I'm not sure if anyone's heard of Friendship First. It's a six-part course helping ordinary Christians discuss good news with ordinary Muslims. And they've launched it in Swedish, and there were believers there, followers of Jesus from Syria, from Iraq, from Egypt, and from Tunisia, if I'm not mistaken, where St. Augustine was from. Home is even a comfort in grief. I notice every year at the Cenotaph, Remembrance Sunday, and the Queen and the authorities are there, and the incredible song that we all know so well from Isaac Watts, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Here we go. Our shelter from the stormy blast and our eternal home. If you want to ask me, what is God doing among Muslims? What's God doing today? He is highlighting the search for home that may be and is absent in the heritage they come from. Within the shadow of thy throne, still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Wonderful. Reassurance in loss and grief that touches the hearts of many. So just something about house and home in the Bible. The Bible has quite a bit to say about the issue. And of course, it's a physical reality in the Old Testament tabernacle, the temple in Jerusalem, and so on. But it's also a spiritual reality, as echoed in Psalm 84 and this lovely application we had, thank you, from earlier, about the church being his temple, being his house. If I may quote the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, the place God wants to hang out. Can you believe it? Man. We share an instinct for home. Perhaps it's part of the divine nature. But it does seem from the prophet Haggai that the Lord has this sense of house and home. And he says through Haggai, you say the time is not right to rebuild the Lord's house, yet you say it's time for you to live in your paneled houses, all modcons, while this house, the temple, remains a ruin. Give careful thought to your ways, because my house remains a ruin while you are busy with your own houses. Now go into the mountains, bring down timber to build my house so I can take pleasure in it. Interesting. We're not the only ones that can be house proud. God takes pleasure in the place that he dwells. So they began work on the house of the Lord. And if the Lord takes pleasure in where he's living, there's nothing wrong with us taking pleasure in where we're living. As I say, we knocked the end out, we've refurbed it, and we're now much more spacious and happy in the environment we're in. But I'll tell you one lesson he's taught us. This is only a house. It's not necessarily a home. Are you with that? People nodding all over the place. And when our earthly houses take over the reality of our heavenly home, we're in trouble. And so that distinction follows through the scripture. What is house? What is home? And while we enjoy our houses, the invitation is going out to all nations on earth to come home. So what about house and home in ministry, service? I prefer that word. Service, ministry, service. The clue's in our name, into serve. And that's where this migration and the Muslim search for home comes in. And it's not just the Muslims. It strikes me that Scotland has a fair idea who they are. The Welsh have a fair idea of who they are, and the Irish. It seems to me the English are suffering from a conflict, a need of an identity. And some of the politics we're living through may be a symptom of that discomfort and lack of satisfaction. And the irony, as we look at our contemporary situation, is to say that into the discomfort across Europe, and I'm looking at Marine Le Pen and the French election, the German election to come, Dutch election we've just had, it's not tipped over into the nationalist agenda. But while all this discomfort is going on across Europe, the Lord is permitting in his sovereign economy this flow. I call it a lava flow after the eruptions in Syria and Iraq and Yemen and Somalia, causing this lava flow into Europe of mass migration, which I refer to not as the pull migration, there's some of that. That's what we call economic migration. Something pulls me for a better life. But what's going on is the push dynamic of migration, where people are being pushed out for their life and are fleeing for fear of their life. And so people who are uncertain about what home and identity and British values are being interfaced against their wishes by people who are also looking for home. And I think it was Gordon Brown who first raised the issue in his premiership. What are British values? And on the occasions I've had at Westminster, I have dropped into the conversation. If the British values are rooted, nurtured, and marinated over centuries in the Judeo-Christian heritage, You with me? If we ditch the heritage, what values have we got? And to quote one journalist, we're now making it up as we go along. So these are crucial days for our society, for Western civilization, and in the mess, in the turmoil, the purposes of God are being fulfilled like no other time in church history. More Muslims are changing allegiance to Jesus Christ today than at any time in church history. That is now unassailable fact. Some of you look terribly depressed about that fact. And it's all happening because Islam is undergoing a painful, as a tradition, is undergoing a painful reformation with a small r. That its own tenets resist and say cannot happen, but more and more Muslim thinkers are saying it must happen. So these are amazing days that we're living in. And it was a friend of mine, a PhD academic lady from Jewish background, who said to me, "Steve, we Western evangelicals often forget one of the names of God, which is less known, actually. You know El Shaddai and these names." She said, "But what about Yahweh Hamakom? Yahweh Hamakom." And it actually means the Lord, the safe place. The Lord, the safe place. The eternal home, if you will. And according to my friend, in Hebrew, it is flowed through into the very root meaning of salvation. To be safe, to be saved, is to be safe eternally. And so what we have, is it any wonder, with the hearts of refugees so raw with fear and trauma and post-traumatic stress, the words of the prophet are becoming true in our day. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm meeting them now like I never thought in my lifetime I would. They're everywhere, believing in Jesus. Can I just let you know, a friend of mine who is one of the bishop's advisors on other faiths in the Manchester Diocese, he said, "We had a spate of weeks across the Manchester Diocese where at least once a week a Muslim came off the streets, knocked on the door of the church, asked for the minister, got an interview with the minister, and said, 'Please show me how to follow Jesus Christ. I don't want to be a Muslim anymore.'" Now, don't look at me. I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. And I was with another bishop's advisor from the Diocese of Peterborough, who said, "It's interesting you should say that, Steve. The same has been happening in the Diocese of Peterborough." Now, some of you guys, I met fairly recently at the launch of Joining the Family course, which is the Alpha Beta, it's the Beta course to Friendship First. Friendship First, joining Muslims on their journey to Christ, not Christianity, by the way, to Christ, and there is a difference. And then joining the family, what meaningful fellowship can we offer, particularly if they're uncomfortable in formal worship, depending on their background? Many are okay, some are not. Huh? And these are the days. They're coming and asking us, "Please, may I join?" I mean, I talk to some Christians . The impression I get is that they think God has lost the plot. So to me, the concept of ordinary Hindu, ordinary Sikh, ordinary Muslim is a real one. And this one was sent to me, and I used it last week in Sweden because we had believers in the meeting from horrendous backgrounds who are now followers of Jesus. And this is the reality. This is tarmac, ladies and gentlemen. It's tarmac. And such is the power of the scientific word that changes light into biological growth going on, photosynthesis or something going on. And this is every one of their stories, not just them, your story. Against the odds, he's doing it by his grace. He's welcoming people home. And we're working to a different future. This is in the Mall on William and Kate's wedding day. Oh, this is the material I was just talking about. There are leaflets on outside on the table. In keeping with his promise, I've no idea where we are now. We're looking forward to new heavens and a new earth where righteousness is at home. I just love that translation of it. Wherein dwells righteousness, wherein lives righteousness, where righteousness is at home. And to meet people from completely other traditions who find their way to Christ is a privilege indeed. Now, one last thought, and I'll sit down. InterServe, as a mission agency, are in search of the next wineskin of mission. And we are creating in Birmingham, in the heart of a Pakistani community, Alam Rock, we're creating a spiritual community. So we're shifting from being an administrative base, office, to a live-in for a team, a live-in community. It's a monastic model. It's been done before. I lived in Egypt for 10 years, and some of the best fellowship I used to get was with the monks out in the desert, in the monasteries. I learned so much. And this is on a monastic style. Anybody know Call the Midwife? They are who we bought it off. They moved 40 years ago from the East End to Alam Rock. 66% of that voting ward are Mirpuri Pakistanis. So right over the wall wafts the smell of the food of heaven. So, but since we started on this journey, I'm realizing this could well be the model for the church in Great Britain going forward. And our architect, who is the child of a CMS missionary family, born in Karachi, he says 60% of the work coming to his practice is now coming from churches who are saying, our building is now fighting our ministry because it was designed for a previous age. So please help us turn the building into a place where people can have a journey upwards and inwards to faith in Christ, where they can belong before they believe, in a post-Christian context. And so Nigel has come along to St. John's House, this is called, and his eyes lit up, because we said this building must now be a site of journey upward and inward to faith in Christ for people of all faiths and none. And he said, leave it with us. So we're working on that now. But Nigel says normally a church has four spaces: a worship space, a minor hall, kitchen and loo, car park. If you're lucky, that's institutionalized. But what about New Testament relational reality? And so this is what we are now modeling for people to come from all over the country and get an idea. And this is costing less than many churches are spending on doing a new build. One of our consultants belongs to a church in Bletchley that has spent 2.3 million on a complete new build to get worship space, minor hall, kitchen and loo, car park. And this is costing an awful lot less. In this house, it's got a refectory. This is back to monastic language. We eat together. It's got a chapter house. We fellowship and have good coffee. If my wife were here, I'd say not rat bait that you get in many churches. Good coffee. And tea, of course. A worship space, which we'll be modernizing a bit, but not destroying the lovely sense. People come into there and just sit and want to cry. The presence of the Lord that's been imbued over 100 years in this worship space. Intense and intentional prayer and worship for the area. A library, the study, research, reflection aspect, garden for relaxation,